Man, it is so good to be here in Alabaster Church of God. Thank you so much, Pastor, for inviting me. And I want to say something. Your pastor, Shirlene, was sick, and she got diagnosed with lupus. And we're in a hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Erlanger Hospital. And I come around a corner, and my pastor's, your pastor, our pastor, is there in Chattanooga. What was funny, though, her immunity system was so low that you had to wear a mask. So he came in the room before I got there. She had no idea who he was because he had a mask on. And you really don't expect, you might want to turn me down because I am booming. Or that might be, I'm fine. I'm just up here. Okay, I just hear me up here. But she had no idea who he was until, about three or four sentences in, she realized who he was because we just weren't expecting him. So I just want to thank you. I appreciate that. That was beyond anything we can imagine for him to come all the way up to Chattanooga to see us up there, and I just really appreciate it. I appreciate the choir and everything. It's awesome to come back. I've always been amazed at how powerful the music is in this church. I mean, we go to a pretty big church, and I dare say y'all loud as we are. So that's great. That's awesome. I appreciate you guys. Tonight I'm gonna talk about something that I'd like to. Y'all remember that stuff, Shake and Bake? It's Shake and Bake, and I helped. Y'all remember that commercial? Well, tonight I'm gonna talk about Snake and Bake. Now I may have preached this here before, but I really, when I went home today, I was looking through some things and I was just kind of praying and said, God, what do you want me to say? And this kept coming back. I brushed it off a couple of times. And it kept coming back. So I really believe that there's somebody here tonight, or more than one, maybe a group of you, who need to hear what God wants you to hear tonight through this sermon. Now, it's about snakes, and I will tell you straight up, I do not like snakes. Amen. I will fight a grizzly bear with a spoon, but I will kill myself getting away from a little rat snake. Like, snake, whoop! Yeah. I will definitely step away from snakes. Now, here in Alabama, where's where they had the rattlesnake roundup? Is it OP? Who's anybody here from OP? You lived through that? Whew. I won't say anything what I think about people from OP now because I have somebody here. But if you round up rattlesnakes, something ain't right. What y'all going to do? Oh, we're going to round up some rattlesnakes. What are you going to do with them? I don't know. We're going to round them up, though. Son, I don't want no part of rounding up no rattlesnakes. So tonight I'm going to talk about a snake. Talking about letting go of a snake. Now I'm going to take my scripture from Acts 28 and 1. I'm going to go ahead and read that. Now I'm reading in the New Living Translation. I like how it sounds. It made some sense to me. I'm in seminary. That don't mean I understand things. In fact, it's kind of like cemetery sometimes. So just a little background while we're little heads up. Most of y'all know me. And by the way, I'm Tony Lombard. I guess he thought because I went to seminary, I'm Anthony now. But I'm definitely not because Anthony sounds a little dignified, and I'm so not that. But Shirley and I have been up to school. We went and finished our undergrads at Lee University. It took Shirlene 4 years to get her undergrad. It took me 32 years. I was a slow starter. And then we have gone on to do our master's degrees, which she has also finished and lets me know every day. I told the Sunday school class this morning, every argument ends with, because I've got a master's degree, that's why. Because she does have one yet. I won't have mine until May. Are we there? Chapter 28 of Acts. Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people on the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armload of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people on the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to one another, "A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Near the shore where they landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, his father was ill with fever and diphtheria. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed as well. As a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. Now, this is Luke talking. Luke is with Paul on this journey. Now, let me give you a little background about what's going on here. Now, Paul, as he did, he preached and he usually rubbed some people the wrong way. So Paul was arrested. And Paul was arrested, and in fact, they were going to beat him down pretty good. And then the Romans came up and they said, oh, we better not beat him down in front of them. And so the Romans arrested him. And he went before this and he was tried and he kept appealing to a higher court. So they kept sending him on up the line. So eventually, he was sent before for Festus and King Agrippa. Now, prior to that, he was with Felix. And while he was incarcerated, this is important, while he was incarcerated, the Lord came and spoke to him and said, you will tell your story in Rome. You will tell your story before Caesar. You will tell this story before Caesar. Your testimony, this thing you've been preaching about, we're going to move that on up. You're going to stand right in front of Caesar and tell that. So God made him a promise. And when God makes you a promise, you can count on that. That's a done deal. When God seals a deal with you, that's a sealed deal. Because when his covenant is cut, it's his responsibility. He's the one that does it. If you remember back in the Old Testament, he cut a covenant with Abraham. And in the Old Testament, they would take this and they would split these animals. And if I wanted to cut a covenant with you, we'd split these animals and you and I would walk through it and we'd shake hands. It's a deal. Word. And so God told Abraham, he said, cut these animals. This is in Genesis 12. And then God put Abraham asleep and God moved through that. You know what that tells me? It doesn't matter what Abraham did. The covenant was on God's side. God took care of the whole covenant. I don't care what you do. I made a covenant and I will follow that. So God made Paul a promise. You will stand before Caesar. You will do this. Now, this angry mob has put him there. And now God has made him this promise. When God ordains a promise, it's an ordained thing. That thing goes all the way to your bones. That covenant goes all the way to your bones. I'll give you another Old Testament story. When Elisha asked God for a double portion of what Elijah had, Elijah said, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion. I want to do twice what you do. Well, if you read through the Bible, Elisha came up one miracle short of doubling what Elijah did. One miracle short, and he died. And they took his bones and they buried them in a cave, as was the custom in that day. Well, years later, when those bones were dried, years later, there was a battle in that same area, and a soldier was killed. And the enemy was overtaking these guys, and they didn't want to just leave their friend's body laying out there. So they went and threw him in a cave. Well, guess what was in that cave? Those old, dry, crusty bones. And as soon as that body touched those bones, he stood up and he was alive again. You know why? Because God had made a covenant with Elisha that was still in those bones, those dead, dry bones. If God has promised you something in your life, if God has promised you your children, if he has promised you your help, then he's going to meet that. He is going to stand by what he said he would do. He will not let you down. It's his covenant, and he will keep it all the way to your bones. So God made this promise to Paul. You will stand before Caesar. Now, it doesn't matter whose court you go before now. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. You're going to stand before Caesar. So that's where we are. In fact, the scripture where that came from was 23:11, Acts 23. And the night the Lord appeared to Paul and said, be encouraged, Paul, just as I have been a witness to me in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome as well. You're going to do this. And so that's where he is. Now he's standing before Festus and King Agrippa. And King Agrippa can't really find anything wrong. As a matter of fact, King Agrippa said, Paul, you preaching so good, you almost convinced me. In fact, the Bible tells us when King Agrippa walked away from it, he told the people with him, he said, if he hadn't appealed to go to Rome, I'd set him free right now. But you see, Paul had a mission. Paul had an assignment, just like we do. And whatever tries to stand in our way, God can move that. He was going to go to Rome. Okay, now this is where the story starts for me. Now, they put him on a boat. They gave him to the centurion. They put him on a boat, on a ship. And Paul even said, I don't think we should sail, boys. But they didn't listen to Paul, and they end up getting shipwrecked. Now, this is where our story begins. They are shipwrecked on this island of Malta. And this is where I want you guys to start understanding. It's where I want you to dial in with me, because this is where it's going to come in to your personal lives. This is where you're going to see yourself, because I found myself here as well. They're shipwrecked on this island. And I'm going to do something at seminary they call an exegete. Didn't mean much to me. It just means scripture by scripture. Kind of take it and break it. I said, why didn't y'all just say that? It was an exegete with all these words they're throwing at me. I went in one class and they said, today we're going to study superlapsarianism. I was like, I can't even write that on my paper without looking at the board three times. That's a three-look word. I got to look up three times to even get that spelled on my paper. So that's how it is. So we're going to do an exegete. So we're going to start at the beginning. All right. It says, and Paul was gathering sticks. Now, these people have built a fire. And Paul's there. And instead of sitting there, now he is shipwrecked. He's a prisoner. He's probably wearing chains. He can just sit by the fire. They have just swam from wherever they swam from. Everybody was saved on the ship, and they have made it to this island. And now they're sitting there on this island, and the people of the island, these Maltese people, they built a fire for them. Now, if it were me, I'd have been kicking back at the fire. I said, look, I'm a prisoner. I'm wet. I'm tired. I'm nasty. But that's not Paul. Paul was working. So many of us, when we get to where a fire is going, because there's a fire going at Alabaster Church of God. I tell you that right now. There always is a fire going at Alabaster Church of God. And when Pastor Stroop rolled in here, he was dragging fire with him. So you know there's a fire going on here. Now, you could come here and you could just sit by the fire and get warm. You could sit by what's going on here and get warm. In fact, you need something, you'll step up to the fire a little bit and then you'll step back, because you don't want to get into it too much. You don't want to be in the fire too much. But it's time to get in fire. Paul did not have to work, but he did. He worked to keep that fire going. How many of us are working to keep this fire going? How many of us are working to keep this going? All these things that you got going outside these walls, that's where the real church is. I've been convicted and convicted and convicted. I'm the college pastor at South Cleveland Church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee. And I've been convicted lately that we've been spending all our time in the church and we're doing nothing outside of it. It is time to move this out there. It's time to get some more people involved in the fire. And you can't do that without building the fire. Now, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a heads up. As soon as he started working to add fuel to the fire, the enemy got him. A snake came out and bit him. Now check this out. As Paul gathered the armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake driven out by the heat. Now, when you get a fire going, you're going to get some snakes stirred up. You're going to get some snakes stirred up if you get a fire going, and they are going to attack you. You're going to find, he was talking about the wheats and the tares this morning. I don't know how accurate this is, but I have read that a tare will kind of stand up straight. It doesn't bend like wheat does. Even though it's the same thing, a tare is just one that's empty. It makes it rigid, and it won't. So when you see the wind of the Spirit moving, you'll be able to tell the wheat from the tares. When you get a fire going, you'll see where the snakes start coming out. The snakes will attack you when you get a fire going. When you try to get something going for the Lord, when you start a project out here, you want to start a Sunday school class, or you start a prayer meeting, or you do this thing you're going to do, bag groceries, that's when you're going to find an enemy. That's where you're going to find a snake. And where did it bite him? On the hand. On the point of work. Right where you are doing the work. That's where he's going to bite you. Right where you are busy doing the work, that's where he's going to get you. As soon as you try to do something, he's going to attack you right at the heart of it. Shirley said that she got sick again. We had just begun moving into a stronger and deeper ministry. We had just begun this stuff, and all of a sudden, she's got lupus again. And some of you, if you don't know, Shirley had lupus when she was in her 20s and God healed her. And I'm not saying it went into remission, because lupus don't go into remission. I mean, it was gone. We have doctor's reports that said it's there and now it's gone. And then 11 years later and two children that she's not supposed to have later, Faith and Judy, y'all wave at me. Good looking little motor scooters. Look like mama. Look like mama, act like daddy. That's a bad combination right there. I told somebody I didn't give them anything but half their skin color and a bad attitude. Love you guys. We're not supposed to have them because when you have lupus, you're not supposed to have kids. They won't be healthy. They'll die or you'll die. Well, she had them, and she was healed. Now, all of a sudden, when we start working, when we move out into it, all of a sudden, she's got lupus again. The enemy attacked us right at the point, and I'll tell you what, it attacked me right at the point of my most vulnerability. That is my most vulnerability right there. You want to get me down, you attack her. You want to get me riled up, you attack her. You want to get shot, you attack her. Righteously pull my trigger. Yes, I will. If there's a pacifist in the house, I apologize. Because I will put a hole through a man that messes with my family and then pray God heals him on the way. Lord, save him on his way to heaven. I sent him to see you. You go ahead and handle it. Right there where Paul was working, he got attacked. Right at the point of work. It wasn't expected. Now listen. Now watch this. I want you to get this good. Paul was in God's perfect will. He could not be more in God's perfect will. And he was still attacked. He was still attacked. And he was attacked by a poisonous snake. Satan will attack you. And it doesn't matter if you're in God's perfect will or not. A lot of people say, oh, well, you must not have been in God's will. Yeah, you were. In fact, that's probably why you got attacked. It's the ones that's sitting on the sideline not getting attacked I'm worried about. Because that's the ones that's not doing anything. Man, I played football when I was younger back in the day. And I tell you what, I didn't get hurt at all sitting on the bench. My uniform didn't even get dirty. Then they put me in a game, I come out bloody and crippled. Because I was mean, but I wasn't very big. We will get attacked, even if we're in God's perfect will. Now watch what he did. Verse 5. But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. Paul shook off the snake and was unharmed. Now there's some important parts in that. Sometimes we got to let go of the snake. We got to do something about it. We can't just sit there and say, oh, I'm being bit. I'll tell you right now, if a snake even comes close to me, I'm making all kind of stuff move. But if he bites me, I'll be shaking every part of me that'll shake. Because I'm not going to stand still and let that thing get me. So many of us, and I've done this, y'all, I've done this so many times. Satan attacked me and I end up, oh God, it's so awful. Help me, Lord. Why don't you stand up and shake that thing off? And you know what he did? Where did it say he shook it? In the fire, which means he wasn't over here whining and crying. He got right where the heat was. When this thing goes here at Alabaster, as this fire builds and builds and builds, and I'm telling you, I'm not saying this because you've got the man here that's going to build a fire. You've got the people here that's going to build a fire. Now, when Satan attacks you, you get close to that fire because you already know Satan didn't like it. That's why he came out of the wood. And you shake that thing off. Now, that's where I want, that's where the key part of this sermon is tonight. Turning loose of what you need to turn loose to. There are some things in our lives we have got to shake loose. There are some things in our lives we got to shake off. There are some times we got to shake off and step up. I heard a story of a farmer had a mule, had an old mule. And the mule fell in a dry well. Farmer looked down there, the mule's okay, but that's a long way down. So he called his neighbors. He said, what do you think I should do? They said, well, that mule really is old, and that well really is dry, and it'll take this much. We put this block and tackle up. It's going to cost this much to pull that up. And he goes, you know what? I can kill two birds with one stone. Let's just bury him. So him and his neighbors got their shovels. They're throwing dirt down in the hole. Man, every once in a while, he'd hear that old mule. So he looked over in there. Lo and behold, every time they threw a shovel full of dirt on him, he'd shake it off and step up. He'd just shake the dirt off and step up. He'd just shake the dirt off and step up. Why don't we try that? When something comes on us, why don't we shake that off and then step up on top of it? Just shake that thing off. I told Charlene, I said, Charlene, this is great. We can use this in our ministry. We can use this in our marriage. We just shake it off and move up. And she said, well, that story means more to you than it does me. I said, why? She said, well, you act like a mule most of the time anyway. We have got to learn to shake some things off. Satan will attack us. We've got to turn loose. Now, here we go. Sometimes Satan attacks us, and there's not a whole lot we can do about it but get close to the fire. There are other times where we just shake that thing off ourselves. There's some things we need to let go of. Now, y'all know back when I was here before, I did a lot of mission trips, and I spent a lot of time with missionaries. And I have a friend who's a missionary in Africa, and he told me how they catch monkeys over, because they eat them. They eat them in Honduras, too. Where was Tim? It's not very good, is it, Tim? Tim went with me to Honduras about 800 times, but monkey is not good, but they eat it. And they use the skin, they do all that. And I said, well, how do you catch those things? I mean, they're like wild. I went monkey hunting and rode for 6.5 hours and saw one. So how do y'all catch these things? And they said in Africa, they got these great, huge termite mounds, just a big clay dirt thing. And what they do is they dig a hole in that thing, and they put a piece of rotted fruit inside it. Then they pack dirt around that hole to where it's just big enough for that monkey's hand to go in. But it won't come back out if he's holding that fruit. Say there's old rotten orange in there. If he puts his hand in there and grabs that orange, it won't come back out. And they tell me that those monkeys will stay there for days because they won't let go of that thing. They refuse to let go of that rotted fruit. And the guys that are hunting them just come up and walk up and kill them because they're not letting go. My friend said that he has actually seen monkeys where they have stayed there until they've died because they will not let go of that rotted fruit. You see that where I'm going? How many times in our life has there something we know is not right for us? Maybe it's a habit we have for you younger guys. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know you need to cut loose, but you will not let go of it. And I tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get killed. You're going to spiritually die. You may even physically die. It's going to happen. Let go of something that's going to kill you. Let go of something that's going to bring you down. Let go of something that's going to drag you straight to hell. Just let go of it. That's all you got to do. They said if those monkeys would let that thing go, their hand would go out and they would be gone. But they don't do it. They stay there. They are bound to that thing. Heard another story about these. I went to Sri Lanka and I saw these massive elephants. I saw them a little too close because me and my brother Jeffrey were on a road we weren't supposed to be on, and they have like this elephant orphanage, I guess. They got all these elephants that they found that were hurt, and they brought them to this one place. And at a certain part of a day, they run these elephants through town down to the river. We didn't know that. We're standing right on that road. And let me tell you something. I'm a Bama fan, but I was as far away from those elephants as I could get because they like to trample us to death. But I noticed something. These elephants were wearing these little bitty chains that a big dog could have broke. And they were chained to these they drive these stakes in the ground. These little bitty chains were holding them. I mean, literally, y'all, it was just a little dog chain. And I said, what good is that? And the guy said, they don't know. They don't know they can break that. Because when they're very, very small, we chain that to them and they can't break it then. So they get accustomed to that chain holding them there. They are bound by a chain they could easily break. How many of us are bound by something we can so easily let go of? We can easily break that chain. We think it's got us. It does not have us. For the power is in Jesus Christ. And in the Holy Ghost, you can break the chain. You can move away from something that's going to tear you down. We don't have to be bound by sin. We don't have to be bound by habits. We don't have to be bound by the wrong person. We don't have to be bound by illness. We don't have to be bound by anything that we can break through the power of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit that is in us is stronger and more powerful than any chain. I am tired of living bound. I am tired of living chained. I am tired of holding on to the rotten fruit. I am ready to let go and move on. I'm ready to shake it off and step up, just like the mule that I am. Or so I heard. I told that story in our church in South Cleveland, and I would have given anything to see the look on the if everybody could have seen the look on the pastor's face when I got to that last word. He wasn't sure if I was going to say mule or maybe something else. That look on his face was like, oh God, okay, it's okay. He said mule. Jim Elliot, have you ever seen a movie End of the Spear? Jim Elliot was a missionary. And he was down in the Amazon. He went into this jungle, flew in to see these people who had never, I mean, in parts of the Amazon, there's still people living like tribes, living like hundreds and hundreds of years ago. They're so deep into the Amazon, they're still living like they were hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So he flew in there in a plane, he and four other guys, and they went in to witness, and as soon as they landed, well, these guys came and killed them. They killed them all. Now, eventually, later, Jim Elliot's son went in and they became Christians. And the man that actually killed Jim Elliot, the man that actually stabbed him with a spear, gave his life to Christ and became Jim Elliot's son's, like a father to him. Jim Elliot's grandchildren called the man that killed their grandfather, Grandpa. Because of the life-changing thing. But Jim Elliot said this. This is amazing. This is an amazing statement. I want to live this. I want this to be my life. It is a wise man that gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Y'all, are we holding on to something that's so important to us that it's going to cause us to lose our lives? It's going to cause us to lose our salvation? It's going to cause, maybe it won't cause you to lose your salvation. Maybe you're living way under where you could. Because I know I'm not talking to a group of people who aren't Christian. I know you guys. You guys are my spiritual mentors. You're my spiritual parents, and I'm older than a lot of you, and that's something else that blows me away. When I left, Adam was about this tall. Now he's like 6'5" and drives a Harley. I'm afraid of him. I mean, I'm looking at Jonna up here. Where did she go? I used to babysit her, and she would just crawl around and poop and ugh. I don't know if I'll get that when I get home. She said, you really say that from the pulpit? Did you really say poop? Yeah, I did, baby. I did. I have to remind them it's still me. I don't want them to think I'm Anthony now. Now, check this out. If we don't let go of what we're holding to, if we don't shake something loose, if we don't break the chain, we are never going to live the life we're chosen to live. God has a purpose for us. There's not a person sitting in this room that God has not given a purpose to. You may not realize it, but it is there. He has called you to something. It might be that little seed that's in the back of your head that you're not sure what it is. God is calling you to that thing. And you are never, ever, ever going to live it until you shake some things loose. You are never going to live it until you let go of that rotten fruit. You are never going to live it until you realize that Jesus Christ and his blood and the power of the Holy Ghost can break any chain. It can overcome any stronghold in your life. We do not have to live like we've always lived. We do not have to continue. We can live for today. We can step that thing up. Now, I want to go back to our story. That was a sidebar. Let me go back to our story, because what happened immediately after Paul got bit? They started judging him. Oh, yeah, evidently he's a murderer. Now, this is the same people that built him a fire. Hey, buddy, come around, sit around the fire. So he got bit by a snake. Like, oh, yeah, he must be a murderer. Let's wait and watch him swell up. He's going to swell up real good. Let's watch him die. Nobody even moved to help him. Like, he must be a murderer. I guess God got him finally. Y'all, when we start doing something for God, when we start building this fire, when we start doing that and Satan attacks us, the first thing that's going to happen is people are going to start judging you. Oh, I saw what happened to him. He must not be living right. I saw how that happened. Sherlene's sick again. Wonder what Tony's doing. She's like a saint. They don't even think she does anything. Oh, she's a saint. It's automatically, what did Tony do? As soon as Satan attacks us, even like I told you before, even when we're in God's perfect will, people are going to judge you. They're going to make these assumptions about you. They're going to say, what are you doing wrong? Well, I ain't got time for people anymore. I love people. I like y'all. But I'll be honest with you, when it comes to y'all or God, matters to me what he thinks, not you. You've got to realize that people are just people. They're going to say things. And what amazes me? It's the very same people that got the fire going. So it may be some of these same people that's working this fire, that's really got this fire up. They say, what'd he do? Oh, they're going through some financial trouble. What kind of sin they got in their life? What happens is Satan attacks us when we're doing something. And the people that are stoking the fire ought to realize, hey, they're stoking the fire. I might get attacked too. Let's stay in the heat right here and get rid of these snakes. Because I tell you what, if Paul would have shook that snake off over here, it would just jump right back on him. You got to shake that thing off to where it's done. Because that snake never came back. Amen. That same thing that Satan attacks you, it will never come back if you get it in the fire. If you put it in the fire, it's never coming back. And the only way to do that is stay close to the fire. Break those chains, shake that thing off, stay close to the fire. Now watch this. They judged him. Now, let's see what happens next. Now, they're sitting around and wait for old Paul to die, and he doesn't. Now they gotta come up with a new plan now. They say, oh, Paul didn't die. He must be a god. Let's worship Paul. He's a god. Nothing happened to him. He must be great. He's the greatest. He's the one. Hey, when you get past that thing, people are gonna start recognizing. They're gonna say, hey, you know, maybe there's something about that. So God used this attack of Satan to elevate Paul. Now Paul is changed in their eyes. Those same people that were criticizing him a couple of minutes before, they already had an assumption about him when he got there because he was wearing chains. And then we got bit by a snake. He must be a murderer. That's what the Bible says. He must be a murderer. Otherwise, so let's just wait and watch him die. Now God is using that thing. When you get close to the fire, when you shake off that thing, when Satan attacks you and you defeat that, then God can use that, because people are going to see that. You've got people you work with. You've got people you go to school with. When they see you come through that, when they see you get rid of that thing, they're going to say, hey, what is it about this guy? What is it about this guy? Now, this is how God does. God is so awesome that not only did he let these people see that and see it, Paul, in a different light, the governor of this island, this guy says, hey, why don't you come stay at my house? Now, I know you were a prisoner before, but after this, after me seeing that snake didn't kill you, I'm going to promote you. Once you come over to my house, once we get it past what we have had attack us, once we pass that attack of Satan, once we shake that off and get done with it, then God can use us. Then God will promote us. Then God will put us up into place. God will use you in a way you've never been used before. Now, this attack of Satan, this attempt of Satan to kill Paul is going to turn around on him. Because this entire island is about to get saved. This entire island is about to get healed. Everything Paul needs to complete the journey God gave him in the beginning. You're going to go to Rome? That's going to happen because of the snake. Y'all see that? Y'all see that? Not because of Paul's great ministry. Because of the attack of Satan. Because Satan attacked, now God's going to fix it. God's going to say, you attack my man, watch what I do with that. Watch what I do with that. When Satan attacks you and you beat that thing, watch what God can do with you. Watch what kind of ministry you can have. Watch what kind of testimony you can have. Watch what kind of things you can change. Watch your classmates start asking you. Watch your workmates start saying, hey, I really need prayer. Watch those kids that you've been praying for time and time again start coming back and say, hey, could you just pray for me? Not a big deal, just pray for me. You know why? Because they've seen you come through that thing. They've seen you beat it. And God will use Satan's attack on you to make a difference in them. It will happen. Mark it. The whole reason that story's in the Bible is to prove that. God doesn't put anything in his word that he's not going to use to move you up. Every story, every word, every period in that word of God is for a reason. We can beat Satan at his own game. When he attacks us, we can use that. Watch what happens. Watch what happens here. He stayed with a leading citizen. He was exalted among men. In verse 7, he's exalted among men. And then, now he's staying at this fancy house, and they say, hey, you know, my dad's sick in here, and I saw you how you shook that poisonous snake off. Because the word says it attached itself. The snake did bite him. It was a poisonous snake. Now I'm not asking you guys to start handling snakes in here. Because if you do that, I'm gonna ask where you want another door. Was it Wendy Bagwell? Sick him Osai, pass him on by. Not me. But that snake bit Paul. And those people saw that, and this governor saw that, and he said, hey, you know, I saw where that snake bit you, and you just kind of shook it off. My dad's sick in there. You mind, you know, just kind of saying a prayer? Paul said, no sweat. He went, and the man was instantly healed because God honored the man of God. God honored his word. God honored that covenant because God had a plan already, and this man was part of that plan. Everything God calls you to, he's got a plan. If he calls you to something, he's already got a plan laid out for you. Where he guides, he provides. In the missionary world, we say this a lot. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. Where he guides, he will provide. If it's his vision, it's his provision. God will make a way. And this man was part of that. So once the dad got healed, he hops up. He's out the bed. He's woo, feeling good. Think I'll go for a walk. So he's walking down the beach there in Malta, and these people say, wasn't he dying yesterday? Wasn't he sick yesterday? Wasn't Shirlene laid up in a hospital with chemotherapy hooked to her? Wasn't her hair falling out? Wasn't she sick unto death? Wasn't her kidneys being attacked? Wasn't her kidneys about to shut down? Yes, they were, but they're not now. Because God will make a way. And God will use that thing. That thing that I thought would kill me brought me through. And I am stronger for it today. And she is stronger. God used this thing. So they see my old boys, see the governor's dad walking up and down the beach. And they're like, hey, what happened to him? So you know that guy that shook the snake off? He prayed for him. So man, they start lining them up outside the house. It says, the word of God says all. Let me get that. I love that. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. Y'all, that ain't two or three people. That's everybody sick in the whole island. Everybody on the whole island got sick. That was sick, got well. They lined them up. I don't know how many. It could have been 100. It could have been 1,000. I don't know how many people lived on this island. But I know everybody that was sick got healed because the snake bit Paul. Because Satan tried to raise his head. Because God had already had a plan. God knew all this was going to happen. Let me tell you something else. When Satan attacks you, it ain't going to surprise God. He knows it's coming. And he's already made a way for you to get through that thing. That thing will not kill you. Because God has already got a plan. God has already said, I will take you to Rome. Paul, I made a covenant with you, and it's to your bones. And I will not let anything stop you from being there. As a matter of fact, when Satan tries to stop you, I'll use his stuff for my stuff. I'll use his plan for my plan. And he did. Everybody on the island was healed. All the sick on the island were healed. As a result, now, according to most theologians, at least my seminary professors, which is not most theologians, is three or four theologians, they believe that that word healed was not just healed. It's completeness, complete healing, wholeness. They got saved. That whole island got saved. That whole island got healed. There wasn't nobody left on that island that wasn't saved. They turned that little country of Malta into a God country. Okay, now watch this. God had promised Paul back in Acts 23, you are going to Rome. And he promised that to Paul while he was being held in prison with chains on him, with guards all around, about to be tried, which may result in his death. I don't care what your circumstances are. When God tells you something, when he promises you something, when he says to you, I will save that son or daughter, and they are living rough. They are living wild. And you are not in a circumstance, you don't feel strong. You don't feel powerful. You feel chained and bound up. There's nothing I can say or do to them. I can't help them because I'm so bound. When God makes that promise to you, it does not matter the circumstance. It does not matter where you are. It's where he is. I told a Sunday school class this morning. We were talking about prayer. And I got to teach my dad's class this morning. It was fantastic. You guys, thank you, by the way. I told them the power of the prayer is not in the one who prays it. It's in the one who hears it. The power of the covenant is not in the one that it's made with. It's who makes that covenant. It's who makes that promise. That's who's going to back that up. That's who it's going to be about. And if God has made you a promise, he's going to fulfill that. And it doesn't matter where you have to go. Now watch this. These people, when it got time to go, when they got another ship, and it's time to go to Rome, the Bible says this. This is so cool. And like I said, this New Living Translation, that's like how it said it. We were showered with honors. That's everybody. Woo, you guys are awesome. Here's this. Give me that. Here's a gift for you. Here's a prize. Here's a little something else. Here you sit. Here's wear this robe. Here's your ring. Here, come sit at my table. Here, this is the best table right here. Here's the best food. Here's the best drink. You sit here. Paul went from being a prisoner in chains to now he's at the governor's house getting prizes. My kids, we don't go nowhere. Daddy, do I get a prize? No. Can I have a gift? No. What about a surprise? No. What about a treat? No. Unless they're at Nana and Papa's house, where they have been for 4 days, and I have to go recondition them. No, you can't have that. Nana said, no, I don't care. Nana's not here. Nana's not here. They were showered with gifts. And I love this part. And when the time came to sail, people... Okay, that doesn't say God. That doesn't say God's people. That doesn't say Christians. That doesn't say apostles or disciples. It says people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. When you are living where you're supposed to live, God will provide through men. Now, I'm saying that because there's some people in this room, if you're like me, You're up against it. I mean, gas is 86 billion a gallon now. It's unbelievable. Man, I can barely put gas in my van now. Food is high. Employment's up. I mean, down. Prices are up. Some of you may have even lost your jobs recently. I know you've had to change jobs. I know several people in here that had lucrative careers, and they were good at it. I know because I worked for them. Just a little. And now they've had to change careers because of the way the economy is. I'm telling you, if you will do what you're supposed to do, if you will stay near the fire, God will have men provide for you. Not God, men will provide for you. People, secular people, will provide for you because it's our money anyway. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Live righteous, you get the wicked's wealth. So I'm waiting for some of those guys that's cashing in on that lottery to come see me and say, hey, this isn't really mine, it's yours, because I'm wicked and you're not. Evidently, I must not be as righteous as I think, because they haven't dropped by my house at all. God provided through men the means to complete the calling. God provided through men the means to complete his calling and honor his covenant. Now, God could have showered money out of the sky on Paul and Luke, because Luke's with him. Luke's writing this. He could have showered money out of the sky. He chose to use men. He chose to use the snake. He chose to use Satan's attack to benefit Paul. He chose to use that to move Paul forward. Now, I'm through. That's what I wanted you to get. But I want you to realize something. We don't have to be afraid of the snake. We do not have to be afraid of the snake. Now, some of you guys, I know Brother Click has been out to Montana. Some of y'all others, I know Alan went out there with us. And the Indian reservation out there, the Blackfeet, Tim's been out there several times. They told me a story. And I don't know if it's one of their stories or something. It's just one of these Native American lore that rolls through all the tribes, and so kind of all the tribes claim it. But they told me this story that wasn't from there on the Blackfeet Res, but further south where it's a little more desert. Story of the rattlesnake and the roadrunner. Now, I'm not talking about the cartoon roadrunner. I'm talking about the real bird. And they took a man out there, and they said, I want you to watch what happens here. And there's a roadrunner, a mama roadrunner, and a daddy roadrunner, and eggs. And this rattlesnake comes slithering up. Now, evidently, rattlesnakes are real fond of roadrunner eggs. So what happened was the mom roadrunner got away from where the nest was, and it just started flopping around on the ground like she was hurt. Old snake's looking around. That's my snake. You like that? He says, hey, there's eggs over there, but she's hurt. That's a full meal right there. So he starts following her around, and he's watching her, and she stays just out of his reach. But what's going on is the daddy roadrunner is going, and he's getting these thorns. He go fly, and come back, and he put them. And he's staying, say this is the snake, he's staying just behind him, and he go get thorns he put behind him. And the mom was making a circle, and the dad was making a circle behind the snake with these thorns. And the mom keeps making a circle, and the dad keeps making a circle. She's flopping around. He's bringing these thorns. Eventually, they encircled that snake completely in those thorns. Now, check this out. The snake will not cross that. He will not cross those thorns. He doesn't like it. And so the mom bird, once they got him circled up in there, they just went back to their nest. They're walking around. And then they started coming over where the snake had been, and they're taking berries and fruit, everything, taking to their young. Now, the moral of this story is they trapped the enemy. They built a wall around the enemy. Then they moved freely in the enemy's territory. Now, check this out. That old Indian told me that that snake would stay in that circle until it died because it won't cross those thorns. It would die of starvation or thirst or whatever. It will not cross those thorns. Now, what we need to do, how many times in my life have I heard, Lord, put a hedge around my family, put a wall around my family, protect my children, put them in a shell, put my family around a shell. I'm not praying like that anymore. I'm like, God, hedge up the enemy. Put a circle around him. That old song, Fred Hammond, Jesus, build a fence around my enemy. That's what I want. Because once a hedge is built around him, once a hedge is built around that enemy, then I'm free to move in his territory. I'm free to take back what he might have took from me. I'm free to do anything I want to around where he is. I can go where he used to rule and take it. I can take the stuff he's eating. I can take the stuff he's taking. I can take my family back. I can take my friends back. I can go get people that he's had for years and years and years, and I can take them because he's bound up in that thing. We can do that with our prayer life. We can do that if we shake it off in the fire, if we get close enough to the fire, if we get near enough to where God is, if we do what we're supposed to do, he will put that hedge around the snake. He will stop him, and you will move freely. You will move freely in his territory. You will move and work and steal what he tried to take from you. I am tired of losing to Satan. I am tired of having the snake come on me and me not shake it off. I am tired of holding the rotten fruit. I am tired of being chained like the elephant. I am tired of all those things. I am ready to be free. I'm ready to take back what was mine. I'm ready to take those in my life. I'm ready to move into another area. I'm ready to move into another fire. I'm ready to move to a place where we've never been before. I'm ready for this church to step up and take over this community. I know you've got the people that are here that can do it. I know you can do it. Alabaster can be taken by this church. Y'all can bust this place right out of the seams. I believe in y'all. I know you for years. For years and years and years I lived around you. And I know your hearts. And I know who you are. And I know what you've been through. And I know what you're carrying. But I also know that this group of people right here can make a difference. I've seen it in your lives. I know Mac. I know what he can do. I know Pastor Strope. I know what he can do. I know what these guys can do. I know what you can do. I've seen you reach people that nobody's ever reached. I've seen Connie Davis minister to people that have been in drugs and alcohol that nobody could even talk to. And she moved and she talked to them and changed their lives. I know what you guys can do. I'm not fussing at you. I'm excited. I'm like a coach, pep talk. Shake off whatever that thing is that's bit you in this fire and get rolling. I love you guys. I thank you so much for letting me come here. I appreciate it. I really mean that. You guys have meant so much to us. Every day that we're up there, we know somebody here is praying for us. And there were some tough times up there. It wasn't easy. But I knew you guys believed in us. If there was nobody else in the world that believed in us, this church did. You accepted us. Because I'll just be honest with you. I'll be transparent. When you see a couple that looks like we do, with the difference that we have, I'm talking about pretty and ugly. Pretty and ugly. You guys accepted us in a time, in an area that wouldn't really normally accept this. And it made a difference in our lives. It made a difference in our ministry. It made us want to be more. We are inspired by you. And I love you, and I thank you so much. I thank you for listening to me. I thank you for inviting us back, and I thank you for loving us always. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise your name, God. I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for Alabaster Church of God. I thank you for its leadership in the past, but I especially thank you where you have brought this place to, and the man that you've set over this house is your man and for this time in this place in this season. Lord, I hear the stories about him driving up in this parking lot and just weeping over this congregation because you had a plan long before we knew it, God. I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. Lord, if there's a snake attached to them, let them help them, Lord Jesus. I bind Satan right now. I go behind him and build a hedge around him so this church will be free to move in the name of Jesus. Let it be done. Hallelujah. Now, Tim knows this. We went out to the Indian reservation. There's an old chief out there named Chief Earl Old Person. And my old boy, he adopted me into the Blackfeet tribe when I was out there one time. And he said all this Blackfeet stuff. I don't know what he was saying. He might have been, I don't know. I have no idea what he was saying. He was saying it in a dead language, a Blackfeet language. And then at the end of that thing, he stood up. He had that big Indian headdress on. He stood up and he looked at that crowd of people who was out there. And he was talking about how he'd made me a member of this tribe. He said, "It's done because I decree a thing. Let it be done." Y'all, I have not any authority in me except for the call of Christ. But I decree a thing in this church. I decree a thing by that anointing and by that call. There's a little bitty lady that stands at my kid's school, or there was used to, now it's a guy. And man, there'll be a big semi truck coming down through there, and she'll just stand out right in front of him. She maybe weighs 80 pounds, soaking wet. And that truck will stop. You know why? Because she's wearing a badge that gives her the authority to do that. I am nothing in me, but I'm wearing a badge from the anointing and the call of Jesus Christ on my life, the call of God and the power of the Holy Ghost that gives me the authority to say this. I decree a thing. I decree in this city that things are going to change. I decree that this church is going to be the fire that burns here. The people are here in place to make this thing happen. And I decree a thing through the authority of the Holy Spirit that this is going to happen because I believe in y'all. And God has made a covenant with this church and with this man and with this people that it's going to happen. Would you stand with me, please?